So, our next case for argument, Johnson, Mr. Cook.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Dan Cook. I'm an attorney with the Federal Defender's Office.
Is there anybody left down in Springfield with the Defender's Office, or all of you come up here at once? Oh, did you come up in one car?
We did not. Different offices from Springfield. A little miscommunication there. But my issue is whether Mr. Johnson's waiver of his right to a jury trial was unknowing and involuntary. We cited three reasons, confluence of which demonstrate that Mr. Johnson's waiver was unknowing and involuntary. The first two are procedural errors. The first, the district court failed to procure a written waiver of Mr. Johnson's right to a jury trial in violation of Rule 23A1. Second, the district court failed to advise Mr. Johnson that he had the right to participate in the selection of jurors, which is a violation of this court's supervisory rules. It's laid out in United States v. Delgado. And then the third has to do with the district court's comments at a Rule 404B hearing. With respect to the procedural issues, just briefly on the Rule 23A1 issue, we would just note that the rule exists, therefore it is important. The structure of the rule sets three requirements. This is one of them. Also, the law as a whole tends to favor writings. With respect to the second procedural error, just note Mr. Johnson's concerns with the makeup of his jury at the jury trial waiver hearing. At that point, he mentioned his concerns with the Wisconsin jury because he is from Chicago. So there's some indication in the record that he would certainly like to participate in the selection of his jurors. Third reason with respect to the district court's comments, he cited pretty much four examples of the district court basically commenting on the government witnesses at this hearing. And this is exactly pretty much 1 week before, excuse me, Mr. Johnson decides to waive.
For a defendant to participate in the selection of jurors.
I would guess that's voir dire.
Excuse me?
I would guess that's voir dire.
What, he can conduct voir dire?
Well, I mean, through counsel, I guess, yeah.
Well, usually in the federal courts, the judge conducts the voir dire.
Well, he would still have his right
to do what?
Strike jurors.
Well, he can ask the judge to ask a particular line of inquiry. He can do it through his lawyer, though.
Sure.
Okay. And that's as close as he gets. He doesn't get up to yak about it.
No, I don't think he gets to do that, no. But, it is something this court has said. I mean, since 1983, this court has said, you know, district courts, you need to tell criminal defendants this. So at one point, that was reversible error. In fact, in Delgado, this court sent it back because it didn't follow those rules.
Seems so weird, though, because if a criminal defendant was really listening, he'd say, well, what does that mean, right to select? Right to participate in selection. Then what happens? It says, oh, you can participate in the voir dire. So you say, well, what's a voir dire? So you have to explain the whole of criminal procedure to every defendant?
Well, no. That would be nice to get a little more. But, I mean, in this instance, you do have to explain. I mean, that's what this court has said. So.
What does it mean? I mean, how is that rule implemented?
Some of the defendants have been in court more than a judge, so, you know, they know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a lot of different ways you could do that.
The world we inhabit here, a lot of rules that I don't think mean anything.
But
they're rules, right?
And I think that's...
right.
I think that's somewhat true, is that... they are rules, and there are cases where this court has said they might not matter as much, but we would just note that they are rules, and we think they do matter. Just to note, United States v. O'Neill, which is a little different, factual scenario, but with respect to the district court's comments, we think the principles behind that case, Judge Posner's concurrence, we think it's as close as we could get to supporting our argument. And with that said, I would just ask this court to send it back to the district court.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Cook. Mr. Domenchak? Ms. Domenchak? Sorry.
May it please the Court, I'm Assistant United States Attorney Bridget Domenchak, and I appear on behalf of the United States. Your Honors, the District Court did not clearly err when it found that the defendant knowingly and voluntarily waived his right to a jury trial. The record in this case reflects that it was the defendant who contacted his attorney and expressed a desire to proceed by a court trial as opposed to with a jury trial, that Judge Griesbach conducted an extensive on-the-record colloquy.
What about this point about the not telling him that he had a right to participate in selection of jurors? That's the issue.
Correct, Judge Posner. And this court has held that this is one factor that should be considered in determining whether a district court erred in finding whether a waiver was knowing and voluntary. And in this case, because there are other factors that demonstrated that the defendant was intelligent, articulate, he gave reasons why he wanted to waive his right to a jury trial. He also demonstrated a very solid understanding of how a jury trial works. And so for those reasons, on balance, they outweigh the fact that he was not informed that he would have been allowed to participate in jury selection. And to refer back to an earlier question.
Maybe if he'd known about his rights, he could say, well, all right, then I'll make sure that the only jurors or people have some Chicago connection.
Your Honor, I suppose that's possible. However, the defendant had earlier...
Wouldn't have gotten them anyway, but I shouldn't think about it.
I don't know if that's likely, but the defendant had earlier expressed an opinion basically that the pool of jurors to be drawn from the Eastern District of Wisconsin was basically not a jury of his peers. And so...
He didn't want to be tried in Wisconsin, so...
Right, and so, regardless of the level...
Of course, there's merit to that position.
Excuse me?
I say there's merit to his position. If you
yes,
think about that.
Certainly. Even if there is merit in that position, I don't think it necessarily...
Never get caught speeding in Wisconsin with Illinois plates, you realize what a great merit is.
It hasn't happened to me, but I've heard stories. Just because, he would have been advised of this right doesn't necessarily mean that it would have changed his decision or allowed him to participate meaningfully in jury selection that of a pool that he had already found to be basically not a jury of his peers.
Well, he was more, I think, he thinks, misled when in the motion to suppress, where 404 hearing, where they are going to allow some evidence in about past conduct, and it was that where he probably misinterpreted when the judge said something about the credibility of his co-defendants. So he may have thought, well, the judge may not believe them, well, I'm going to go with the judge. That seems to be the gist of his argument.
I agree, Judge Mannion, and I do think that that's one possible interpretation of the judge's comments. However, the government...
Well, no, I'm not giving that. He just misinterpreted them, but that seems to be what he did.
Right, but the judge's comments were not misleading. I mean, Judge Griesbach basically said these witnesses, because they're cooperating defendants, have credibility issues. And so this other evidence that was being proffered at that point, which I should add was not at the point where the jury trial was being considered to be waived. This was actually a week earlier, and so that was not even an issue at that point. He made that in a comment in determining whether to admit that evidence. And, I mean, certainly the defendant had one interpretation, but another is that the defendant, or the Judge Griesbach, was actually making a comment as to how this evidence would come across.
Does the judge actually say to the defendant in these guilty plea hearings that you have a right to a jury of your peers?
If I understand the question correctly, you asked if it's in a guilty plea hearing? as opposed to a jury trial waiver hearing?
Jury trial waiver. Well, it's the same thing. But no, it's not the same thing, obviously, in this case. It's usually the same thing. Yeah, I'm sorry. I asked wrong. Yeah.
No. Basically, under the factors set forth in Delgado, the...
The Constitution discusses peers, not the judge.
Correct. And so the factors set forth in Delgado basically direct the district court to advise a defendant that he has the right to participate in jury selection, not that he's going to be tried by a jury of his peers. Your Honors, unless there are any further questions, the United States will rest on its brief and ask this court to affirm. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Domaschak. So, Mr. Cook, we'll give you another minute, although your time had expired.
Unless you have something to say.
He's done.
Give it up.
Oh, you have nothing further?
Nope.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And you